Now, I use an expression, it's called par for the course. Which is this idea that part of life is going to be change. And what you want to clarify is how much is going to require the other party's participation, how much is going to require the other party's accommodation, and how much is going to require the other party's respect.
What areas of life between husband and wife are going to require participation? That means that the non-observant spouse, non-interested spouse, will have to cooperate, participate in observance in order for this marriage to work. Well, can you come up with anything? I'm going to try to knock them all down except for one.
Things in the home.
Participation. I'm not up to accommodation yet. Participation. You have to become observant just like me in order for this marriage to work.
How much?
The only one that I was able to come up with was the laws of family purity, the laws of mikveh, the laws of intimacy. The only time I was able to come up with that we would actually need participation of the other party. The most delicate, obviously, is when the husband's interested in observance and the wife is not necessarily, because mikveh is really the woman's mitzvah. And if she's not interested in participation, so, you know, if he's that many steps ahead of her, that becomes something that really needs counseling and encouragement and figure out. But my point would be that if it's communicated properly, you make it clear this is the only thing that's required as participation for it to work.
Not kashrus?
I would put kashrus into accommodation because there is no impact on the more observant spouse if the less observant spouse decides to eat non-kosher.
No, they could mess up the kitchen.
Accommodation. You can't do it in the kitchen without reservations. In other words, if you want to have a non-kosher microwave in my kitchen, we could work that out. We could figure out such a method. You want to bring in non-kosher pizza. I don't know if you would make this accommodation for kids, but for a spouse to make the marriage work, if that's what's important to him or her, it's not in the realm of participation. You don't have to participate in the observance with me. You have to accommodate me. I need to have a corner that's kosher, or you need to have a corner that's not kosher. And we can accommodate each other.
How about lighting Shabbos candles? It's the wife usually, female would do that.
Okay. If the wife chooses not to, then the husband can do it. It's important to him. He's able to do it. If one spouse comes home late Friday night, that's all issues of accommodation. That's negotiation. You can express to the less observant spouse how treasured it would be if we could have the Friday night dinner together.
Now, what if you light the candles and the person puts them out?
Okay. That's a lack of accommodation. That did not require participation.
It's a lack of respect.
That's a lack of respect. That goes even right. A step even beyond that, where I go ahead and want to have my clothing checked for shatnez, that it shouldn't have wool and linen, and you purposely go and hide the suit when I'm trying to find it to run out to the shatnez lab. That's a lack of respect. That wasn't even accommodation. I didn't ask anything of you. And what ends up happening is that even in these observant type questions, it really boils down to the essence of the relationship. And that's true. Some people never developed an essence of relationship. The reason it was working is because they both like skiing, and they both liked each other's looks, and they both wanted to buy a house in the same neighborhood. So they became business partners called spouses. But that's, you know, that's not what marriage is about. The marriage is, even when one goes ugly, we're still in this. So, to a great extent, nothing really changed in the expectations of the relationship. But you hit a bump. This bump was called religion. And what sometimes happens is, if we don't grab it into maturity quick enough, it degenerates into you like, I like, you're not being nice to me, you're not being fair to me, instead of communicating the issues the way they are. Yes.
Along the lines of what Vivian was talking about with extended family, you know, let's say the whole family's going out to dinner for a celebration to a non-kosher restaurant.
Right.
And you choose not to join them.
Okay.
It can cause tremendous conflict and
okay.
bad feelings.
So what you need to do is you need to have a mentor. And you need to have a mentor who understands your situation. And it could very well be that you will go the extra mile to accommodate them in their relationship without violating your principles. You may choose to attend the non-kosher restaurant without eating. Now, the way to do that is not just not to eat, but to think ahead and to eat before so you're not hungry, so that you could just have a cup of soda and be okay. I know, again, many people who don't understand these principles, and every step of the way is a conflict. And many people who are respected by their cousins, extended family, relatives, everyone, they know that Moish is going to come to this non-kosher Hanukkah party and he's going to be drinking Sprite the whole night. And that's just the way it is. And he dresses differently than them. There's no one answer for everybody. But that's why you need a mentor who understands your thing. You also have to understand people and what it is that's irking them. For the most part, they're irked because they think it's a statement that you think less of them. And you need to make it clear that everybody's on a different page. Everybody has to relate to God. I'm not judging you. You don't judge me. And I will continue to respect you. I will continue to treasure our relationship. And I expect you to respect what I'm doing. Respect, not more than that. In order to really understand how this works, turn over the page to the part called Perspectives. In number 11, this is again Reb Moshe Sternbach, and he compares a person during spiritual growth to a child who's learning the skills of life. The child doesn't walk or run on the first day. The child rolls a little bit on its back, let's say. It sits up, it crawls, it stands, it cruises, toddler stage of walking. He says, that is the essence of a person that is getting into observance. There actually is a very big difference, and you have to know this difference, between asking for a ruling in Jewish law and asking advice from a coach. It's two different things. And I find myself often in two different relationships. Sometimes people are asking for a halachic ruling. Someone would ask me, are you allowed to drive on Shabbos, let's say? A halachic ruling? The halachic ruling is no, you're not allowed to drive on Shabbos. But then a person who's, let's say, crawling stage equivalent, asks me a question. I can't say you can drive on Shabbos. But I can clarify, you're asking me the question as a coach. So I have people that as a coach, I can tell them, I've told people, you know, instead of driving a car on Shabbos, why don't you ride a bicycle? Why don't you ride a bicycle? Is a bicycle okay? If there's no Eruv? A halachic question we can discuss separately. But you want to know a coach. A coach. We can coach you. What is the next level for you? Person says they can't put tefillin on every day. I say, but you could do it at least Sundays. You have a little bit more time on your hand. Is that a halachic ruling? You only have to put tefillin on. You know, Rabbi Ryan said you only have to put tefillin on Sundays. Not true. But that's a coach. And we need to make that distinction between what we're asking for advice when we ask. You're simply not up to certain mitzvahs, but is this the next step? Reb Moshe Sternbach coined an expression in the Baal Tshuva approach, which is the point of least resistance. He says when you choose the next step to grow, you don't have to choose the next step to grow by what is the most serious mitzvah. You have to pick your point of least resistance. Whatever mitzvah appeals to you, that's the next step. Because the same way that if a person who's totally observant leaves go of one mitzvah and says, I don't want to do that mitzvah anymore, he's in deep trouble because he's just cracked the system. So the person who's not observant and suddenly says, I'm going to start doing mitzvahs. Here's the mitzvah I'm going to start with. They've also cracked their lack of system. And they're growing. And that's the only question that we ask. Is the person growing? They're not growing. No other human being can dictate the pace that you have to take. And certainly a spouse can't dictate to another spouse or parents to children. What we can do is create a phenomenal environment. Take a look at 12. Creativity and strategy. The husband of Devorah, the prophetess, was an ignoramus. So what was Devorah going to do? She was a prophetess. She was destined to be a leader of the Jewish people. And she has a husband who doesn't know an aleph from a beis. How is she going to get him involved? What would we do? Rebuke. Preach. Look what she did. She said, I will fashion wicks, and you go deliver them to the Beis HaMikdash. In this way, your portion will be with great people. So the Medrash asks, who caused Lapidos to become a righteous person and merit the world to come? His wife's creativity. The wise woman built her home. I remember in Muncie, there was a woman, Mrs. Weiss, whose husband was totally not interested. Totally. Like, really anti. She used to come home from Rabbi Wein's sermons, and she would retell the stories that he said, and he was famous for his stories, and she always forgot the punchlines. So she painted this grand picture of him on the airplane with people and whatever happened, and she'd always forget what the last statement was. She forgot. And he used to get very frustrated, and she said, well, you know, my memory's not so good. Maybe you should come with me to shul. Maybe, you know, you'll remember the stories better. Eventually, he published a book. He became so close with Rabbi Wein, he published a book of Rabbi Wein's Divrei Torah. The book is published through Art Scroll, Vintage Wein. And that was her strategy. Okay? We're going to move quickly just to finish up. Take a look at 13. Again, you got to be very careful in positive reinforcement.
The Talmud says, in the place that Balei Tshuva stand, a person who's increasing their observance, even truly righteous people cannot stand. In other words, according to the Talmud, a person who takes a step, any step, is held on a pedestal. They're considered great people. And again, that principle has to be reinforced even if spouses choose different mitzvahs to focus on. In the family setting, let's do the first one, number 14. It is hard, like the splitting of the Red Sea, to join husband and wife. Hashem takes individuals and places them in a home. This is the concept we mentioned before. Spouses are individuals. They're different people. Nothing's going to change that. But if there's respect, then it could work. Let's drop down to 17, focusing a little bit on the challenge of children. Children very often started off their life without the observance, and then suddenly midstream, the parents start getting involved. General educational approach is that there's planting and building. Planting means that you just start it off and it will flourish on its own. Building is that you constantly put in your input. 17. If we don't allow the child to grow, he will become a robot. You're always forcing him. If we rely entirely on independent, spontaneous growth, fail to build into the child good habits and traits, then you get an overgrown thicket, a wild person. You have to make an impact on the child, guide him. Both elements are essential for a good education. And finally, number 18, prayer. Blessed are you, Hashem, who has commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. It takes effort to engross ourselves. But please, Hashem, sweeten the words of Torah in our mouth, in the mouth of your people, and the family of Israel. The goal of increased observance, for some people, is a religious calling. But for many people, the perspective is very simply that it's a sweeter way of life. It's deeper, more profound, and relationships are much more lasting than they would have been without those religious perspectives.